Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who washes his hands even after using a towel, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. We are broadcasting live from City Deck Studios at WGBW in Green Bay. I almost, Conrad, gave a Packers score to the listeners. Anyone listening does not care about the Packer game, or they're not Packer fans, so I don't know. It's just my innate, I just want to share information with people. That's why I'm here. So, hey, tonight's question is it okay to re-gift? Would you be insulted if someone you knew re-gifted something? Text us and let us know what you think. It's 920-264-0606. That is the re-gifting hotline. Let us know. I did get one text during the break. It said, got a cousin Eddie Dickey as a re-gift. Who would give that away? If somebody gave me a cousin Eddie Dickey as a gift, I would think that is probably about the coolest thing ever, and I would wear it to every Christmas party or family Christmas event I could. But I don't know. This person passed it along. Very insulted. Maybe never saw the movie and didn't know what the heck it was, too. There's always that possibility. So this is like kind of an all civic media hour of Nightlight here. We're talking about awards season. We're talking movies and TV, re-gifting. And now we're going to talk a little music. I'm really excited to welcome this next guest. He also works for Civic Media, or as I say, he's Civic Media's own. He is a fellow host, and he hosts the show Mad Unity on Civic Media. Please welcome to the show, Jorge Reyna. Hey, Jorge.
Hey, Pete. It's great to be here.
It is really cool to have you here. Tell us about Mad Unity.
Yeah, so, you know, Mad Unity is basically a radio show on Wednesday nights from 10 to midnight that our goal is to showcase all things electronic music that are featuring artists from Madison and the general area out here. We feature DJs, producers, and we also make an effort to find promoters and artists that are involved in the scene somehow to just highlight the vibrant electronic music community happening here.
Very nice. Is there a big electronic music community in Madison?
There's a bigger one than I thought, I'll tell you that. And it's a very tight-knit community. And there's a lot of, you know, though, as with all music scenes, right, there's different cliques depending on what primarily the genre they are pushing. But, for example, this past week we had the Immortals Collective, who are, you know, they try to do multi-genre. And it's just, nowadays there's all these sub-genres of electronic that you could go out, when you go out and dance, you could hear pretty much everything.
So, electronic music, when did that become like a huge thing? Was that like 80s?
I mean, you know, actually we live very close to where the house and techno meccas were, you know, which are Chicago and Detroit. So that, yeah, it started around then, but it gained momentum in the 90s. And that's when you started to see a lot of this sort of the warehouse events sort of merge into become these club things. And in LA, as I'm sure you've been out that way, it was pretty much the same. Each kind of region had as this sort of sound, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, acid house and techno would be huge here in the Midwest, and out west we had breakbeat and, you know, like sort of like the sort of more dubbier house, and it all sort of splintered off, but the scene kept growing. And it's funny because it still feels underground in many ways, but I mean the events are pretty mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, you sent me a clip a few days ago, and it was a disco clip, and I hadn't even heard the word disco. I'm one of the few people, like, when I grew up in Chicago, kids in my neighborhood hated disco. It was all classic rock, and I was like, I secretly liked it. Like, I loved hearing music from Saturday Night Fever, and I'm like, why do these guys hate this music? It's pretty cool, like, you know. And then as I got older, I just unabashedly, I was like, I love this music. So yeah, how has it changed?
It's a vibe. You know, I think it's generally, to me, my own sort of personal opinion is it just really taps into that primal instinct and then sort of like, one of the reasons we wanted to put unity into the show name is because it's that sort of unifying, like 4-4.
Yes.
And you kind of just, you're in a dance floor and you feel that communion with people. Just, you know, those are some of the best experiences of my life, and all kinds, you know, with dancing around 20 people or 100,000. It's just been pretty amazing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I saw this documentary on, I don't know if you've ever heard of Disco Demolition Night at Comiskey Park in Chicago back in the 70s.
I have not, no.
Okay, a local radio shock jock, his name was Steve Dahl. I don't know if he's a shock jock, but he was pretty edgy. He encouraged people to bring disco records to the ballpark, and then he blew them up in the outfield.
I did hear about that, yeah. But I think it was in the Bee Gees documentary, yes. Where they talk about that in sort of the darker kind of sort of, I guess, themes behind that sort of resistance to disco and the communities that were behind it.
Yeah.
And sort of like the way that it was a pretty kind of a dark take on, you know.
I mean, it was totally strange. And I, yeah. Even when I got to be an adult, Jorge, I'm like, why do these guys? And then I saw this documentary, not the BG one, a different one. And this guy from this south side of Chicago with this real thick accent, he goes, we didn't like the fact that if you wanted to go meet girls, you had to put on a suit and go to a discotheque. That's what it was. These guys that went to the corner bar and bellied up in their jeans and high tops, they didn't want to dress up. That's why I think they hated disco. Well, so anyway.
One of the things that the Bee Gees documentary talks about is that's sort of like also, you know, when you think about which communities were into disco and dance music, you know, and that sort of tells you a lot about the resistance of other communities. So it was an interesting take because I hadn't really thought of that, you know, like,
yeah.
I guess thankfully when I came into the house scene in LA and the drum and bass scene later, it really was about just, I mean, it didn't really matter as long as you were there respectfully. Like, in fact, the whole rave mantra was peace, love, unity, and respect, and the plur thing. I think we were a bit, you know, ahead of our time in terms of like music, kind of modeling that kind of like, just we're cool with whatever, you know.
Totally.
As
agree.
Long as you're respectful.
Yeah. And those are fun clubs to go to too. To me, I mean, they were much more fun to go to than people just sitting around. But we'll, and maybe it is. I'm not an expert on this, certainly. By the way, I'm talking to Jorge Rina. He is the host of Mad Unity here on Civic Media. Hey, when can we hear Mad Unity, by the way?
Wednesday nights from 10 to midnight.
Okay.
We do a quick little interview usually when we have a special guest, and then we just mix live for 2 hours.
Is it just like a party there? Like you guys are kind of jamming out too?
Basically, yeah. It's like when it's just sometimes my co-host, by the way, is Frequency, who's also a local DJ and producer. I'm sorry, and it was just us two were just jamming out and like, oh, what record are you playing? Well, record meaning song, right?
Yeah.
I'm dating myself here.
I love that you still said record though. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's, you know, it's an interchangeable name, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So. How does a kid from California, you're a California kid, end up hosting a music show in Madison, Wisconsin?
Well, you know, it's a long story arc. How much time do we have in the segment?
You got about 4 more minutes.
All right, yeah. Well, essentially, Sage, the founder of Civic Media, he's been a good friend of mine. And back in our LA days, like, you know, he was going to college out there, and I started spinning there. Their college parties, basically.
You know,
nice. Nobody else knew how to beat match. And so I just started picking up records and I could beat match. So they said, hey, you're our DJ now. And, you know, long story short, fast forward to now when he was starting the network. And, you know, I came here to essentially lead the marketing efforts. And he was like, what if we did a show, you know, electronic music, dance music? And I was like, let's do it. You know, we have the airwaves. We're very lucky and grateful that we do. So we are, you know, moving forward with it and really excited, having a great time.
That's so cool. How do you like Madison compared to LA or compared to Southern California?
Oh, yeah, honestly, I love it. I keep saying it's my Goldilocks situation where, you know, I was in North Carolina for a little bit and California got too big. North Carolina felt too small. And then here, Wisconsin, Madison just feels just right. So
nice.
I'm enjoying it. Even with the winter, you know, I got my gear, so I'm good.
Oh, man. Talk to me in 5 years. I don't know.
Maybe. Well, that's what I can hear. But, you know, I still, what is it, rose-colored glasses?
Yeah, right. Will disco ever be back like it was in the 70s, like on top 40? And maybe it still is. I'm not an expert like you, but
Well, I feel like, you know, one of the most memorable nights I've had so far dancing in Madison was at a disco night, but a monthly event here that happens is called Jams. And they were like Detroit guys that came out and just blew my mind.
Oh, sweet.
The disco they're playing. I feel like it's this weird thing where it's not quite mainstream, but it's still in the sort of the general consciousness because we all love it and you hear it, you start jamming out to it.
Yeah.
But I don't know, given the way that the music industry is structured nowadays, in a way it's good because independent artists can really just put their music out there.
Right.
But also, you know, like it's not going to be a Taylor Swift phenomenon type of thing, unless she makes a disco or a house or an EDM remix of her songs and then blows up.
Yeah, unless she dates the Travis Kelce of the disco world. So
or that too. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we'll have to connect because I might not look it. I'm like I got like this like pink skin and whatever, and I know I seem like the whitest guy ever, but I am a very good dancer, and I would love to come to a disco night.
I think we might actually have an open house on the 27th for the last Mad Unity of the for Civic Media.
Oh,
folks.
Very
so if
cool!
You want to come and hang out that Wednesday, do your show from here, and then maybe we can do something so that something special that night.
Listen, I always look for an excuse to go to Madison. It's one of my favorite cities in the world. Honestly, when I was a stand up, I loved doing stand up there. I do some TV hosting there. It's a great town. It's so fun.
And the comedy club's right downstairs. So if you want to just do a whole night of it.
I'll go down and do an open mic or something. Yeah, that would
there
be great.
Go.
Well, thanks so much for being with me tonight, Jorge.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah,
we'll talk movies some other day because, you know.
Yeah, I know. I want to. Hey, real quick. Actually, we have time. Favorite Christmas movie?
I texted you that one night, Elf. You know, it's kind of a weird one, but I love Will Ferrell on that one. It's just
people love Elf. Like Elf too. It's not my favorite, but I like anything Will Ferrell's in. And do you have a favorite all-time movie? We have about a minute, I guess.
You know, it's kind of a dark one, and I haven't watched it in a while. But Natural Born Killers would be so many themes about media and just sort of very very dark and very strange, but. It is one of my favorites.
That's okay. That's like, because I've been hearing all these fuzzy warm movies for Christmas, so that's a good one. Jorge Reina, yeah, thanks so much. Thanks
thank
for
you
your
so
time
much.
Tonight, buddy. Yeah, keep up the good work.
All right, okay. Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Check out Mad Unity on Wednesday nights from 10 to 12. It is fun, and he plays some great music, and he's just a really great host. So thanks for being with me. When we come back, another Civic Media host, we're going to talk about old country music. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pete Schwabba. It's a little disco music in honor of Jorge, who just left. I think that's disco music. It certainly sounds techno. So I just got a text based on our poll of do you regift and what people think about regifting. The first text I got was, got a cousin Eddie Dickey, and I thought they meant regifted it. But then the text came in and clarified, I meant I gave a Dickey, and they passed it on. I don't even know if this has to do with the question we were asking or a random thought about getting a cousin Eddie Dickey for Christmas or giving one. But either way, that is a phenomenal gift. And thank you for keep the text coming. Let us know how you feel about regifting. It's 920-264-0606. The Packers would want you to text me. And right now we go from one amazing Civic Media show to another. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show Civic Media's own and a fellow host, Bo Heinrich. And Bo, am I saying your last name right? I'm not a very good host. I did not clarify that.
It's okay. It's Henricks.
Henricks. Oh, you got the E sound in there. I like that. Ethnic?
Yeah, even though there is no E. It's like a silent E of some sort.
There was a basketball player named Heinrich who said it like that. I think spelled it the same way you did. So I had that in my head, but it was a rookie move. Sorry about that. But it's great to have you here, Bo. Thanks for being with me tonight.
Well, thanks for having me and congratulations on your new show. I mean, especially thank you for having me here in the first couple of weeks. It's still got that new show smell. So I'm really appreciating it.
I hope it's a good smell.
Yeah. No, totally.
At least you didn't say that news show stench. That would have been kind of damning. So I appreciate the, hey, tell us about your show is called Old Country. Tell us about Old Country.
Sure. Old Country. I've been doing the show for 14 years.
Wow.
The show has been on for about a little over 15. It started shortly after I started here. The guy who started the show was named Joe Harrell. And he, when it came to the show and our station, he was actually here way back in 1949 when the first broadcast happened. And then he went and he did other stuff. And then he came back to do that show. And wow. He was a passion of his. And so he did the show for around a year. But unfortunately, he had been dealing with some illnesses and he couldn't host the show anymore. But at the time, I was pretty new here to the station, and he taught me a lot when it came to radio, Old Country, and just everything in general. And so when it was time for him to step down, he asked if I would be willing to take over the show. So, of course, I said yes, even though people who know me probably don't instantly think country music. When yeah. they think of me, it's something that I've grown to really enjoy.
That was going to be my next question, because I don't know a lot about country music, but what I like of it is old country. I mean, it's just beautiful songs. And so you weren't as familiar. So you're a pal if you took over a guy's show and that really isn't your number one genre of music. Was it a learning experience when you took over? Or?
Yeah, because most of the songs that we play were before I was born. So there was a bit of a learning curve.
Yeah.
I try to play things pre-1990. So, yeah. But nonetheless, I think that was half the fun when I started taking it over, was learning all about these artists and their backstories and just old country in general. It's just a completely different thing. You know, it's all about the storytelling.
Yeah.
And it's about the different artists working together, helping each other get into the business and to promote their music, write songs for each other. And it's just, I think it's something pretty special that you don't see as much today.
That's really cool. Bo Henrich is my guest. He hosts Old Country on Civic Media. When can people hear the show, Bo?
Yeah, you can hear it on Sunday nights on from 6 up till midnight.
Wow.
Yeah. That's
a lot of tune spinning, buddy.
Yeah. You know, I bring a pillow with me once in a while, take a nap, but
if that
hopefully was, they don't notice.
If it was 6 hours of polka music, you could play 4,000 songs in 6 hours. But that's pretty cool. So do you have a favorite artist? I mean, you must have obviously grown to really admire the music. Who are your favorites?
I would say I really enjoy Ray Price. Yeah. I also really like Jim Reeves. I think he does a lot of good music, and so does Marty Robbins. Marty Robbins, another huge favorite of mine. So
Marty Robbins was in the band. What was his band? Oh
gosh. It was,
he had a couple big hits in the 80s. Anyway. Mm-hmm. He's great. Yeah, those are some phenomenal. And are you like Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash? You play those kind of Patsy Cline?
Yeah, so cool. We play all the greats. And it actually really helped out because a few years back, there was a program, like a concert that was done for this group for the World Craniofacial Foundation over in Prairie du Sac. And they had Jimmy Fortune of the Statler Brothers. And he was performing there. And I had at the time been in talks with the guy that was putting on the program. And so he asked if I could come down and host MC the concert. And so it really helped knowing a lot about old country. So I could sit down and just talk with Jimmy when I got to meet him. It made the whole thing a whole lot easier. So,
wow. So that's pretty cool. There's a lot of perks when you host a show like that. I would guess like just that being one of them, but have you ever had cool guests or like people you admire on the show? Do you do a lot of guests or is it just mostly about playing the music and stuff?
Well, not to be super morbid, but most of the artists, there's a good chunk of the artists that aren't with us anymore.
I suppose.
But I have had one of the local talents here in our area, even Bobby G. Rice. He's a good friend of our station and he has a lot of good hits. He still does music today, but he did like Sugar Shack and you know.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so he comes down from time to time. He was my first real musical interview when I was getting started and just the nicest guy. But don't get a chance to put a lot of artists, but you know, when I do have the chance, it's something special.
I'll come in anytime, Bo, and I'll sing live in your studio, chase a few listeners away. Marty Robbins sang El Paso. That I got him wrong. I got him confused, but I knew he had a hit that I knew in El Paso because Steve Martin used to play that song a lot, and that's why, you know, that's crossover, right? So what constitutes, we've about a minute left. What constitutes old country, Bo? I wanted to ask you this. Is it an artist, a sound, a year? What is it? It's kind of vague. Like you could probably get away with playing stuff you wouldn't normally.
Yeah. It's gone through a lot of different shifts in tonality, different types of sound that the artists have come over the years.
Yeah.
Actually, when it just got started, to be fair, I would say that we saw even people like Elvis Presley being considered country before right. rock and roll really got started. So I think it's more about old country is stories. You know, you look at them and they all had a
great answer.
We're telling a story from the beginning to the end. And it wasn't just, you know, the same lyrics over and over again. I think that's what I would constitute as old country.
That's a great answer. Bo Henricks, check out his show. It's Old Country here on the Civic Media. You can go to civicmedia.us. Bo, thanks for your time tonight. Best of luck. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Pete.
All right. My pleasure, buddy. Good having you. When we come back, another special Civic Media guest. I am Pete Schwabe. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabe. Beautiful night here in Green Bay. Tomorrow night, I have a really fun guest. I'm very excited to have this guy on the show. I don't know, those of you who are fans of Office Space, the film, I've got one of the Bobs coming in. You'll know, if you're a fan of the film, you know who I'm talking about. The two Bobs who played the consultants for the business and had to downsize the company. And everybody was too scared to go in and talk to them. Richard Reilly, the actor, is going to join me tomorrow night on the show. He is, he's got over 300 film credits. I've interviewed him before on television. He is just the nicest guy. And I'm not surprised. He's from Wisconsin. He's a Wisconsin native. He'll join me tomorrow night discussing his many movie roles and what he's got coming up. And then Wednesday night, I have a great guest too. Steve Burrows, a fellow Wisconsinite. Who has lived in Los Angeles for years, but Steve made a film in Milwaukee years ago called Chump Change, which is still one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. And he also made a film that is on Max right now called Bleed Out that kind of cataloged his mother's, an illness that his mother had. So Steve, and he directs commercials. The guy can do everything. He's a phenomenal talent. And one of Wisconsin's own. He'll join me Wednesday night here. So it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. We're working our way through. We're talking about the Golden Globes tonight. The nominations have been released. Had some great guests. Some fellow Civic Media hosts have been on. Jim Healy was here. He's kind of a film guru. He programs the Wisconsin Film Festival and watches thousands of movies a year. And now we have another exciting surprise guest that I'm going to welcome to the show, who is also, again, a Civic Media host. And she joins us now, Anya Esther. Anya, welcome.
Hi, Pete. How are you doing?
I'm better now that you're here. You and I have talked over email, and you're kind of this rock star. I've heard you have this legend. You're this young person, but you have this legend that precedes you on the show. So I'm a little intimidated, I will be honest. But it's great to have you here. Thanks for being with me tonight.
Well, thanks. It's great to be. It's intimidating to be told that one has a legend, especially at a company that I haven't even been here a year yet. So to have people as far north as Green Bay say, "Hey, I've heard about you," I'm always thinking, "Oh no, what have you heard?"
It's a new company. Legends are in the process of being made. So why not you? That's what I say. Anya, thanks so much. You're a Milwaukee resident, correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, I am. Yeah.
Very cool. And tell us a little bit about what you do. You know what? Let's do this. You work on a lot of shows. You're an on-air mm-hmm. talent as well. I'm going to say the name of a show, and you tell me what you do on that show. Okay?
Okay.
Let's see. This will be like a fun little game here. The Maggie Dunn Show.
I am Maggie's producer every day, so I'm pulling her music, I'm pulling her sound, and if she wants to take a day off, that's when I'm a live host. That's what I do for her.
How exciting is that? Do you like that?
I like it. It's very nerve-wracking. I made a decision when I went into an arts degree and that art.
Oh, did we lose Anya? I think we lost her sound.
Can you hear me?
There you go. We got you back.
Oh, there we go. I made a decision back then. I wanted to be behind the camera, and suddenly I feel I'm back in front of it. So
you can't get away from it.
At times, but I still, I like doing it, and I like getting to talk to folks about these things that I'm passionate about in a way that feels very, very big for someone my age.
Yeah, I would say so. So tell us a little bit about if some of my listeners who are probably people in my business or whatever, tell them a little bit about the Maggie Dunn Show.
Yeah. So Maggie is the corporate counsel for the city of Milwaukee. She's this fantastic lawyer. She has had these incredible experiences. She's worked here in Wisconsin and in New York and these really, really huge historical cases. And she brings that expertise Mondays through Thursdays to the air to talk about Wisconsin, to talk about Milwaukee, to talk about our country, the things that matter, and really bring to light, I think, a lot of issues that people just are not talking about. And from the lens of a woman who has been in many male-dominated spaces, someone who has just an incredible amount of expertise behind her. And then sometimes I pop in and sort of do this puppet show version of something like that, and people seem to be okay with that.
I doubt that very much. I will say it sounds good in your voice, so you can hear that you really respect her and you obviously like working for her. So that probably brings a little bit of more of you behind the mic when you do have to fill in. So that's pretty cool. Okay, let's move on to another show. Paul Revere Hour. Tell us about the Paul Revere Hour.
Yeah, with Mark Thompson. I am also his producer, so I'm there on the board with him. That show's a little bit easier. He's got his music set, but he has some incredible guests, and they talk a lot about, especially all the drama concerning the Elections Commission, fake electors, all these things involving Trump, things that we talk about right up until, I guess, 8 p.m. when this great program starts, and we get to step away from that.
No politics on this show. We're all about chilling out and just keeping it light. Unless something breaks, I will be a reporter on the scene. But okay, yeah. Here's the next one. I don't know if I'm saying this right. Bust-ED pencils. Does this have some kind of weird connotation or what?
It does. And we're all about weird connotations here at Civic Media. Yeah. Bust-ED pencils. Educated educators talking education. That's Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. They are teachers. They have their doctorates, I believe, in education. I'm probably getting that slightly wrong, but they tackle issues pertaining to schooling, public education, voucher schools, book bans, things, school boards. And for them, I'm their producer. And I'm also what preceded me being a live host was being their youth report, because I both just got done being in school, you know, last year, the year before. And I also, when I started working in radio, quit being a teacher. So I'm sort of on the young end of the teacher and student spectrum to talk about, is this pedagogy working? Probably not. Most of us don't know how to spell pedagogy. So that's what I do for them.
Google.
Yeah, there you go.
So What did you graduate college like at 10? How are you doing all this in your short number of years here on planet Earth? You were a teacher. My wife is a teacher, so mm-hmm. I'm going to tell her to listen to that show. But you were a teacher before this?
So I worked in a religious parochial education, but Jewish parochial education, which gets a lot closer to. I was writing syllabi, I was developing courses, I was getting grants for things. So I wasn't there during the school day. I was with them after school and weekends, which were the only times I wasn't going to school.
You don't like to chill out, do you? You're like always going on something, it sounds like.
You know, I am. They talk about how if sharks stop swimming, even to sleep, they'll die. And I learned that fact at too young an age. And by the time I learned that that wasn't even true, my brain had kind of developed a personality around it. So, yes.
Well, whatever works for you. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Raised in Wisco. Let's do that one next. One of the many Raised shows that Anya works on. I'm talking with Anya Esther. She is a civic media producer extraordinaire. And I'm asking her about the various shows she works on. So we are on Raised in Wisco. Great title.
That's right. Raised in Wisco is our hunting and fishing show with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. I'm also their producer. And on that show, I'm also their wrangler a lot of the time. This is a show that is already wild in its nature, and they bring on a lot of very fun, interesting guests, almost directly from the wild at times. So that's where I kind of put my zookeeper hat on and really feel like I'm herding cats, more so than even some of my other shows.
Oh, that sounds so fun. All right. I'm definitely tuning into that one. Okay. Now I won't have you do this one because we had Don Brown on this week in Waukesha. Don Brown was with me last week and we talked about that. So we got a sense of that, what's going on in Waukesha, another great show. So this week in Waukesha, check that out with Don Brown on the weekends. Great show. Bird on a Wire. What's that?
Yeah, so Bird on a Wire has wrapped up, but it was a traveling live podcast with Luann Bird. Luann ran for an elected seat a couple seasons ago, and while her election didn't turn out in her favor, she found that she met really incredible people with great stories, and she wanted to have a show that centered those. And we did, I think we did about 12 or 13 episodes, and those are on civicmedia.us. We covered everything from veterans' rights to disability care, school boards. Again, this is a show where you just have someone who's really passionate, really experienced, and we just put that to tape. And that's what podcasting is, isn't it?
That's and exactly radio, right. So. Okay, last one, Morning Cannolis, my favorite title of all of them, by the way.
Yeah, Morning Cannoli is our show with the phenomenal former U.S. State Attorney James Santel. And it is a 2-hour, you know, some of our listeners refer to it as a class, but I think that makes it sound boring. It is a powerhouse session from someone who is an interesting person and makes these things, these very, very specific legal terms, very interesting. Jim has a way of just completely enrapturing you in what he's saying, even when he's mostly speaking Latin and talking about dockets and doctrine. If you want to know what's happening with the Supreme Court and you only have 2 hours or even an hour, give it to Morning Cannoli.
Wow. Oh, that's pretty cool. And is he, what's the deal? Is he just a big fan of cannolis or is he Italian or what's the story there?
The far back story is when I think him and Crute first got together, he would, Jim would always pick up cannolis from Glorioso's, which was very close to, I think, where the studio was back then. And nice. Crute told him that should be the name. And it's stuck ever since. So
he says many wise things, doesn't he, that Mike Crute?
Yes. I'll leave it there so my checks keep getting signed.
Okay, so I'm Anya Esther is with me. She does a lot of things here at Civic Media. You mentioned on your, I looked at your website, the link you shared. You do a lot of things in central Wisconsin. And part of this show is I'm trying to talk to people from all parts of the state. I want to know what's going on culturally, showbiz-wise, who's from there, what cool things have happened there, all kinds of stuff. So what are your ties to central Wisconsin? Mostly the arts, I assume. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so I first grew up very far up north in Springstead, but I spent from the ages of 10 to 17 in Wausau. And those were the ages that I was doing theater, learning how to paint. I was in choir doing these things. And even though I've left Wausau, I still try to keep up with what's happening there, because there is some incredible art, progressive art, things that would change your mind or change your feelings. But because they're happening in theaters that are out on county highway, whatever, kind of out in the sticks, people who write reviews or talk about these things aren't seeing those shows. So I keep trying to keep those lines open to places that aren't Madison and Milwaukee, places that are out further out. Maybe it is a drive, but hey, if the show is a destination, why not get out and go see it? So that's kind of my connections, just knowing people and saying, hey, what are you doing this season? And can we talk about it? Or can you come talk about it? That's what I'm hoping to foster still. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Please share any interesting guests you might have there. We'd love to talk to them. So you saw the list of the Golden Globe nominees, correct?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. And I want to tell listeners that Anya, in addition to doing a lot of producerial work on civic media and working on 12,000 shows, she is also into film. You've made short films. You have this great kind of website, blog. I hope I'm getting that right. Pardon me. I want to ask you about this. On your website, you had exactly 4 favorite films that you listed.
This is my letterboxed. Understand. Yes. Okay, yes. Okay.
I am fascinated how you... Okay, so we got to get into this, but you know what? We got to take care of a little business. 60 seconds. Yep. Can you hang around just for a little,
of course,
a little longer?
Yes. Okay.
How you landed on 4, I don't know. I couldn't even narrow it down to 50. Some people have 1. You have a top 4. And I love when people say stuff like that. Oh, I finished in the top 4. Well, that means you were 4th. So we'll talk to you about your list in just a few seconds. So Anya Esther going to stick around and help me down the home stretch here. If you have Regifted or hate Regifted, please had something Regifted, please let us know. It's 920-264-0606. Been some fun tech so far. It's Pete Schwabe, and this is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I can't hear a sound, folks talking loud, but I don't see at all. I gotta get away, gotta get away. I don't
know where to go. It's hopeless, so leave it alone.
Well,
welcome back to Nightlight. We're in the home stretch here on a Monday night, competing against the Packers. So we got another text here on the question tonight is regifting. How do you feel about it? Have you done it? Do you approve? Whatever your thoughts are. And I love, like, I know people from, you know, I've been in the entertainment business for like 35 years, literally. And I hear from people occasionally from my stand-up days, from my writing days, hosting, whatever. And this is a great, I love getting texts like this because it has nothing to do with the question tonight. Someone I know just heard me on the radio and said, Brady Street days with Jim.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what that means. All I know, I do know I spent a lot of time on Brady Street when I would work the Comedy Cafe in Milwaukee. It was right at the corner of like Brady Street and Van Buren. And the comedy condo where they used to put us up was haunted. And I got to have someone on the show to talk about that one of these days because I had an experience too. Anya, I don't know how you feel about ghosts, but I had an experience that I still can't explain. Anyway. Brady Street days with Jim. Whoever texted that in, maybe it was Jim. Thank you. It doesn't really clarify anything regarding regifting, but it's nice to hear from whomever that is. All right, I'm talking to Anya Esther. She is a producer here at Civic Media, and we were just about to jump into film because that's her other passion, and that is my passion as well. I love talking movies and TV on this show. That's what Nightlight is all about. So you had on your letterbox page, you listed four film favorites. You have 4 favorite movies. I'm flabbergasted by that number. Please explain.
So I should be really clear. Letterboxd is like, it's like a Facebook for film, or really it's for tracking what you've watched and what you want to watch. So 4 is the number they give. You can list up to 4 favorites at the top of your profile. I have a countless number of films that I've listed as 5 stars or that I like, or these different lists. But I guess these four I picked, you know, four because that was the number they gave. But I guess these are a representation of kind of my top one of each kind of these films. Okay. I have two documentaries, two narratives.
You had a documentary that I introduced on public television. It was called "It's with the Face Reading."
Oh, you did Coded Bias.
Coded Bias, yeah. That was a great film. Fascinating.
Yeah, I'm in love with that doc.
Yeah, it's great. Sorry,
it is one of those No, it's all good. It is one of those documentaries I can't stop recommending because it so succinctly explains something that I think so many people refuse to believe, that technology can be racist, because in their idea, it's a machine. It's not a human. It doesn't know how to hate.
Right.
But of course, what this documentary in these five or six short vignettes about these different incoming technologies explains is that, well, the people who make these machines maybe aren't necessarily that they're racist, but that what they do causes things to happen that oppress people on the basis of race. Like, the very simple story that I tell people is, if you've ever used an automatic faucet, you swipe your hand under it, the water should start touchless. Well, these companies who invented these machines didn't show these machines enough hands from people of color, enough right. Black hands. So now when those machines are out in bathrooms across the country and the world, and someone who's a person of color with a hand who's darker than what they tested it on tries to use it, the water won't start. And that just adds to the infinite number of teeny ways that for people of color, like their sense of peace, things working right, the world around them being built to serve them the way it's built to serve everyone else.
It's just another
chip,
little
chip,
obstacle.
Chip away at the patience. Yeah.
Exactly.
Incredible film.
Yeah, it is. You also had Paper Moon. Ryan O'Neal just passed
yes.
away last week.
Yes.
And The Terminal. Great. I like your taste. You did have also on here, I'm looking at your page right now. Oh, you had this. I love this. You watched
yes.
Cocaine Bear. You gave it, I think you gave it 5 stars.
I did.
I liked it. I don't know if I would have given it 5 stars, but I love Kerry Russell. And you said in the comments, you watched it with your mom, and it was the first time she smoked weed. So I don't know if did that cloud your experience with Cocaine Bear, or would she have liked it anyway? Fill us in here.
Oh, wow. Oh, mom, if you're listening, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It's cats out of the bag, Mrs. Esther,
oh, yes,
if
yes,
that is
yes.
your real name.
Right. In fact, right. So, yes, I think I felt that Cocaine Bear, you know, I just enjoyed a film that for once did what it said it was going to do. So many films try
yeah.
to be funny and fail, or try to be dramatic and fail. And Cocaine Bear told us on the package what it would be.
Right.
You will experience right. what life would be like if a bear on cocaine, if you had to deal with that. And I thought it was great. Great female-led film, the bear, of course, being a woman.
I didn't even realize. I thought you meant Elizabeth Banks, who I'm a huge fan
well,
of.
Well, her,
but
too. But
okay.
As a tale of motherhood.
Tubs. Yes. Okay.
Sorry? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Okay. Yeah, that was a fun one. And I agree. It was just crazy enough. You go into it not expecting much, so you're pleasantly surprised when it actually is kind of cool
yes.
and sticks to the narrative, you know?
Yes.
Really, we have about a minute left, unfortunately. But what is your take? Just tell us what you're watching. What do you recommend to people who might be listening?
Oh, wow. You know, it's been a minute since I've been able to really sit down and watch something. But just pulling from the Golden Globes list to do 2 Birds with 1 Stone.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Oppenheimer, and if you haven't seen Barbie, if you didn't do the Barbenheimer thing like I did, get those off your list. Oppenheimer is an incredibly great, just visually stunning, historically
yeah.
stunning. And Barbie is moving and important for the just the current moment. It moved me in a way that a film has not, that I had not felt seen by a movie kind of in my life
yeah.
until watching Barbie. So definitely those. Anything A24 has put out this year, they are the love of my life. So Zone of Interest, Anatomy, not Anatomy of a Fall, that's Neon, but Past Lives, they made Everything Everywhere All at Once last year. What else is on this list? Oh, see Saltburn and see Poor Things. If you want to see something really weird that is on the Globes list, Yorgos Lanthimos out with this incredible New Age Frankenstein with Willem Dafoe in it, who you mentioned earlier.
And Mark Ruffalo.
And Saltburn, I'm hearing incredible things about it. Haven't got a clue what it's about, but I love to walk into a theater completely blind and just see what happens over the next hour to 4 hours at this point.
That is so cool and so well said. And I'm with you with Oppenheimer and Barbie. Barbie snuck up on me. I thought it was going to be like the trailer. I loved it so much. I wanted to run to the theater. And yes, I thought it was going to be like the Brady Bunch. And it ended up being this whole cool visual spectacle with a great message. Great stuff. Anya, thank you so much for being here tonight. Yeah, we got to do this again soon. Please join me again.
Oh, I will be back in a heartbeat. You tell me when.
You got it. All right. Anya Esther, I want to thank all my guests tonight. I'm running out of time here, but join me tomorrow night for Richard Reilly. This has been Nightlight with Pete Schwab on the Civic Media Radio Network.